Well, welcome, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. Something you'd like to talk about, we want to discuss it with you. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're starting a new month today. We actually started the new month Saturday, but we're jumping in on it on this Monday.
Yeah, we're a little late.
It's New Covenant month here at Basic Gospel, and it's our favorite topic, basically, because we live in this new covenant. We're no longer old covenant. We're new covenant. And Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is one of the signature chapters in all of the New Testament. So if you want to get a proper foundation for your relationship with God, the purpose of the law, the purpose of this new covenant, this is the chapter you need to know. And it's so vitally important for each and every one of us. So I encourage you to star this chapter, to read it, to understand it in context, and really find out what it means to be a new covenant believer. And we're certainly going to help you along that journey this particular month. But let me just read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm just going to read the first six verses. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? So Paul's apostleship was being called into question. There were other folks that came along after Paul and basically told the people of Corinth, we're the super apostles. We're the guys that you really need to listen to. We really have the message that's going to radically change and revolutionize your life. And so in light of what these super apostles were saying, they started to question Paul and his authority and his ministry. So Paul defends himself a little bit here. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So we see something incredible right here in this particular verse, that this new covenant is a Spirit-based ministry. The Spirit of God does something to us on the inside. He writes God's story on our hearts. He writes God's love on our hearts. He writes faith and hope in our hearts. That's what this new covenant is all about. So such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Paul had all of the credentials as far as Judaism was concerned. He was a rising star. He got his degree from, you know, the Harvard of Jerusalem, basically. He was well-educated. He was a gifted communicator. He could debate with anybody. And leadership had picked him out as a guy to be reckoned with as far as the future of Judaism was concerned. So he was competent in that way of life, in Old Covenant stuff. But to be competent in New Covenant stuff, that takes an education from God himself, a revelation of the Spirit. And that's exactly what God did with Paul. He taught him personally. We see that in the book of Galatians. And so he says his competence comes from God. And then he says this, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. So what is this ministry of the new covenant? It's of the Spirit. It's of the Spirit of God. For the letter kills, those laws written on stone, those Ten Commandments, judged us guilty, and the wages of sin is death. It brought us to a point of realizing our true condition apart from Christ, that we were spiritually dead. That's what the law did. It killed. But the Spirit gives life. So what did Paul do as he went into these towns? He ministered life, new life, to people through this new covenant. So we want you to understand that you are a new covenant believer, that you have been ministered to, have been ministered life to in this gospel message, and you live by this new covenant. That's what governs your relationship with God. So often we try to mix the old with the new, and when we do, we miss the purpose of both. It's time to recognize that we're new covenant, to stand up and declare to the world, we are new covenant.
That's Basic Gospel, friends, and thank you for joining us for this edition. If you'd like to join in this conversation and talk about this particular issue, we'd love to entertain your call right now, 1-800-677-9377. If there's some Bible passage you just can't quite understand, or some other issue that you're facing in life, why, give us a call. Want to talk about it with you, if I can get those words out. 800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 800-677-9377.
And a quick note, we have a fabulous offer this month. It is a brand new Basic Gospel resource called The New Covenant Journey. It's a Bible study guide that takes you into the Word of God. It asks incredibly insightful questions that can get you thinking and can help you come to a point of really understanding why it's so important to live in this new covenant. We want it to be in your hands, and for a gift of any amount, we will put it in your hands. So take advantage of this wonderful new resource by Basic Gospel.
And you can call and speak with our operator at 800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 today and every day this week. And request yours, make your gift for the New Covenant Journey, the Basic Gospel Study Series, or you can find it online at basicgospel.net.
Thank you. Let's go to Sacramento, California, and talk to Spew, listening to us on KFIA. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. I'm definitely on the same wavelength as you gentlemen today, because I thought of this question before you talked about the theme, but I'm a little bit unprepared because I can't find the scripture that I'm looking for in Revelation. I'm hoping one of you guys could. I'm paraphrasing that it talks about Jesus saying about those who keep my commandments.
Well, Spew, that's a, you know, John talks about that in John 15 of his gospel. Jesus saying, if you keep my commands, then you really are remaining in my love, and my love is remaining in you. And we look at that word commands, and we think of it in terms of the Ten Commandments. But when Jesus really talks about the commands, it's the command to love God and the command to love one another. He really spells that out in 1 John chapter 3, and I think this is a very significant verse for you to mark down and to memorize and to understand. It's 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 23, and this is his command. So we see this word command, and here John is defining it, and this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. So that's what's important to God, for us to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's really an expression of our love for God. When we believe in Jesus, we're saying to God that we love what you have sent to us in the person of Christ Jesus. We love what Jesus has accomplished for us. And so in response to that, we are trusting him as you commanded us to do. And as we abide by faith in Jesus Christ, then we can carry out command number two, and that is to love one another as he has loved us. So we first receive the love of God. We do that by faith in Jesus. And as we get filled up with the love of God, then we're able to pass that on to others. So that's what he's talking about. Richard, did you find the verse in Revelation? Yeah,
Revelation 12:17, I believe. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war with the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus.
So I think there, since John was writing that there's a consistency, you know, throughout his writings, the gospel, the three letters, and the Revelation, and I think it all is summed up in 1 John 3:23.
And I did write that down, and I appreciate you sharing that for me, and I agree with what you've said, but I just want to go one level deeper. That's kind of a summary, but I'd like to take you one level deeper for my own walk, and that I'm a single Christian, and therefore one of the commands that God has is for me not to be involved in any type of intimate relations unless I'm married. And so that, to me, is a command. It's not a request. And my way of showing my love for God and His Word is by obeying that command. And I think that if I
self-deceived,
I would think it's okay not to do that, and it would be okay, but it's not okay.
All of that is wrapped up in that summary statement, to love one another. So studies have shown, we just look at the country, sex outside of marriage damages society. It brings right. emotional pain and sorrow and hurt and all of those things into people's lives. We see that. I mean, we know it. You can feel it and sense it in our society today. Well, if you're going to trust in Jesus and love one another, then you have to ask the question, okay, here's this person that I'm in relationship with, and a person of the opposite sex. There are sexual desires there. How do we put those at bay in order to love each other as God has commanded us to love? That's the question you would ask. And it's all tied up in this command that we should love one another. That's a specific way. How do I love this person? I don't want to take advantage of her. And that's what guys tend to do, just, you know, when we let the flesh take control, we tend to take advantage of women in those situations. We tend to push and push and push and push. I tell my daughters, I said, a guy will go as far as you let him go. As soon as you draw a line, that's where it'll stop. But you need to draw that line. Why? Because guys aren't smart enough to draw those lines unless we're being controlled by the love of God. And when we're controlled by the love of God, that person, we really start to see them through the eyes of Christ. And boy, that changes everything for us.
Right. Okay, well, that makes sense. Thank you all very much. I'm going to let you get on to your next callers. May the Lord continue to bless your ministry today and forevermore.
Well, thank you so much. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of a book called Love Is. I think you will really enjoy it. You hang on, Spew.
You'll find Love Is and the other resources available at our store at store.basicgospel.net. Hope you'll poke around in there. Again, store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Colonia, New Jersey, and talk to Joe, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joe.
Lots of perseverance, Joe. Thanks.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great. How are you today?
Good, thank God. Good, thank you
very
much.
Did you pull for the Broncos or the Seahawks?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not very happy right now.
Let's see if we can cheer you up with some love from God, okay?
Yes, amen. Thank you, guys. I do a lot of studying the Bible, and I have like a little group that we always do it every week. We get together, and we come up with different topics to discuss and to like go over and really dig into the Bible and learn it to help us grow, right?
Right.
So we're at this part where we're talking about that old topic called election.
Yes.
So we know we're called by God to go and spread the word of God to everybody. That is our, that is what God commands us to do. We don't have to pray about it. We pray about where we're going to go, but we know it's a command, right?
Yes.
But I guess my thing is, when we read the scriptures and he says that, you know, the ones that I have elected and that people cannot come unto me unless I draw them, is the drawing for everybody, or is it for only certain ones that he draws? Like, I guess I'm just confused on the topic, because I'm under the impression we know that, you know, Jesus came to this earth to die for all, and that we, you know, so that none shall be condemned. We know that. But then I understand how election plays a role in here, and I've watched different, you know, different videos from Sproul.
Well, Joe, I think part of the confusion there, and what I see as part of the confusion, is that we look at election only in terms of kind of individuals. This person he saves, this person he damns. But the context, whenever you look at the overall context of passages that deal with election, it's never about individuals. It's always about Jews and Gentiles. So Ephesians, the first three chapters, for example, that is fertile ground for the doctrine of election. There's verses there. I mean, right at the get-go, you know, we've been predestined to be adopted. We've been chosen. We see those words, but as you move forward through the letter, you see that he's talking about that in terms of Jew and Gentile, and he comes to this conclusion in chapters 2 and 3 that God is calling out of this world people from both Jewish background and Gentile background, and he's taking those people and he's putting them together to form one new man called the body of Christ. So we see that becomes the overall context of this great doctrine of election. And then in Romans 9, 10, and 11, which really are the chapters, the most significant chapters in the Word of God about this very subject, Paul starts that very first verse talking about his brothers, the Jews. Has God forgotten about them? And then he goes into three chapters to answer that question with a resounding no, that God has offered salvation to both Jew and Gentile, that he is elected, that both can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And right in the middle of that discussion, there's this great verse in chapter 10, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, whether Jew or Gentile. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? And when you recognize that, Joe, you see that this great doctrine of election is one of the most unifying truths in the Word of God, that we can stand side by side with people that you know, the world had drawn a line between. We can cross over that line and become one in Christ. And that is possible because God has elected it to be so in Jesus.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
No, it makes great sense. I'm with you. I'm not fighting with them or arguing, but I'm telling them, no, salvation is for everybody. You know, keep going to, like you said, Ephesians 3, and they're going there, but I guess it's like you said about the content, it's about understanding who they're referring to. It's about the surroundings of their scripture and what's going on. And
well, interject that into the conversation.
Yeah.
Interject that context. You know, let's just say, hey, folks, let's broaden this out and let's see what Paul is really saying about Jew and Gentile in these passages. And I think if you will take that as a premise, as kind of a foundational starting point, all of it really starts to fit together.
Amen. Great. Thank you guys so much.
Hey, thanks for your call, Joe. You hang on. We'll send you a copy of our free offer or our offer this month, The New Covenant Journey. You hang on, okay?
And we'll be giving all the information as we close the broadcast in about, just a few minutes here. So stay tuned, and we want you to take advantage of this wonderful new offer that we're making.
Let's go out to El Paso, Texas, and talk with Josh, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Josh.
Hi. Hello there. It's the first time I call.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, and not also that, but it's also one of the first times that I start listening to Christian radio. Here's my background. I'll talk about it real fast. I used to go to this Mexican-American church here in El Paso, and I actually have family in this church, and they have some beliefs that I'm starting to not believe anymore. Probably the main one, it would be that there's an apostle right at this moment on earth, which they believe in. And I think, I'm sure I don't believe in him no more. So I'm starting to really convert to Christ and not this middle person that would be the apostle. So they have a passage in the Bible that would be Revelation 10. And they say that that will be the passage that explains that he's an apostle. And that's something I don't believe no more. I thank God for that. So, but I'm more interested in what that passage really means. Like I said, I have family, and I would like to share that with them. But I want to really be sure of what I'm going to tell them.
Well, Josh, before we get to that particular passage in Revelation 10, I think there's something deeper that we need to talk about. And, you know, you were involved in this church. You're coming to a point where you're questioning what they're teaching. You're questioning this particular apostle. You're slowly converting to Christ. I just want to spend just a few seconds talking about what this gospel message is. Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, both fully God, both fully man. God sent him because he loved you, Josh, and there was a problem, and there still is this problem that you're separated from God, that you're dead spiritually, and we recognize that as this sense of emptiness, this sense of something being wrong deep inside of us, not just the fact that we have sins out there, but there's something wrong with us just at the core. Well, Jesus came to solve that problem, and that's why he said time and time again in the New Testament that he came that you might have life. And Josh, if you've never received Jesus, that offer of life is being made to you right now. And the encouragement, our encouragement to you is to receive him. And I think once you receive Christ and receive his life, then you'll be better equipped to reach out to your family members and share a message of hope and life with them. Is that something mm-hmm. that's of interest to you?
Well, actually, I think yes. It's something I'm starting to. Everything's new to me.
Yeah.
Because since I was 7, 8, I've been receiving this message, and then I'm starting to see that it's not the real truth.
Yeah. Well, let me do this,
and
Josh. We're about to go off the air. Let me put you on hold. I'll pick up with you right after the broadcast. Okay? You hang on.
Well, it's good to hear from Josh and to hear the openness of his heart. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, for this edition of Basic Gospel. That offer we were speaking of, the New Covenant Journey, the Basic Gospel Study Series, connecting you to the love of Jesus Christ, a brand new study series available from Basic Gospel. We want you to have a copy of it, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. To make your gift and request your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. You'll find that prominent link right on the homepage. Or between the hours of 9 and 6 p.m. Central Time, you can speak with our operator to request your copy and make your gift at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828 for a gift of any amount, The New Covenant Journey, a brand new study series. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.